Hi, welcome to the Frihoff Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski with the 12-minute shiur number 47. What's wrong with the electric Chanukiah? We're working with a source sheet that you can download at our website. That's www.frihoffinstitute.org/podcasts. There's one mitzvah associated with the festival of Hanukkah. That's Hadlakat HaNer, the lighting of the Hanukkah lamp or candle. We normally perform this mitzvah with a Chanukiah, a Hanukkah menorah that holds wax candles or oil lights. Now, it's also possible to use an electric Chanukiah like the one pictured on the source sheet. But is it kosher to do so? That is, according to Halakha, is it possible to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakat HaNer by screwing in an electric bulb for each night of the festival? Most Orthodox authorities say no, as we read in Rabbi Eliezer Melamed's Penine Halakha, lines 3 through 6 on the source sheet, where he says, Da'at rov haposkim she'en yotzim yedei chovat hamitzvah benerot chashmal. Most poskim rule that one cannot fulfill the obligation of the mitzvah of Hanukkah with electric lights, which means that if you do use an electric Chanukiah, you're not supposed to recite the brachot over it. Those brachot, the Tzivanu l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah, and Sha'asan nisim lavotenu, and on the first night, Shehechianu. Now, notice the Penine Halakha says rov, most, meaning not all poskim. There seems to be a dispute or a machloket here. Our shiur will explore that disagreement. Why do some authorities accept the electric Chanukiah while most others don't? The issue goes back to the Talmudic debate over which wicks and oils are permissible for the Ner Shel Chanukah. And that question is directly related to the discussion about the wicks and oils permissible and not permissible for the Ner Shel Shabbat, the Shabbat light. As the Mishnah puts it, line 11, Bame madlikin uvame ein madlikin. With which wicks and oils are we to kindle the Shabbat lamp, and with which wicks and oils are we forbidden to kindle it? Now, the 15th century commentator, Rabbi Ovadia Mibartnora, explains the concern. We're in lines 18 through 28. The permitted wicks and oils are the expensive, best quality materials. We want to make sure to use only those materials for the Shabbat light so that the flame will be strong and hopefully not start to sputter and go out. Now that's important because since we're allowed to use the Ner Shel Shabbat for illumination, people are going to be sitting around the lamp or the candles and, well, Shema Yateh, maybe absentmindedly someone will reach out to tilt the lamp to fix the sputtering flame. And that's forbidden to do on Shabbat, so we want to prevent that. Another reason is that it's a mitzvah simply to have a light burning in the house on Shabbat, and since we're forbidden to rekindle the flame once the Sabbath starts, we want to use the best quality wicks and oils to keep it, hopefully, from going out. So now the Talmud asks whether these requirements apply as well to another ner, the one we use for Hanukkah. We're reading in Tractate Shabbat, Daf, Kaf Aleph, sides A and B, lines 33 through 39. Amar Rav Huna, Petilot Ushmanim She'amru Chachamim Ein Madlikin Behen B'Shabbat, Ein madlikin behen b'chanukah, bein b'shabbat, bein b'chol. Rav Huna said, it is forbidden to use the Hanukkah lamp, for the Hanukkah lamp, those wicks and oils that the sages prohibited for the Shabbat lamp, either on Shabbat, that means Friday afternoons, or on weekdays. So, according to Rav Huna, we must use Shabbat-quality wicks and oils for the Hanukkah light on all 8 nights. Why is that? As Rava explains, well, for 2 reasons. First, kavta zakukla. Rav Huna holds that should the Hanukkah lamp be extinguished, one is obligated to rekindle it. As Rashi tells us, beginning in line 44, this is a measure to prevent against negligence. We need to use the best wicks and oils to make sure, as best we can, that the flame doesn't go out lest one forget to rekindle it because one is busy doing weeknight kinds of things. Of course, this concern applies to weekdays and not on Shabbat, when, negligence or not, one would be forbidden to rekindle the nair if it does go out. Now, Rav Huna's second reason, according to Rava, is that mutar lehishtamesh le'ora. It is permitted to make use of the Ner Shel Hanukkah for illumination, just as it's permitted to use the Shabbat light for illumination. If so, then the same concern applies to both. We want to make sure, as best we can, that the flame will not start to go out on Shabbat, lest we accidentally tilt the lamp to fix the flame. Okay, now we can understand the other two opinions in the Talmudic debate, lines 52 through 66. Rav Chista says that we may use the cheaper, more inferior wicks and oils for the Hanukkah light on weeknights, because kavta ein zakukla, if the light goes out, one is not obligated to rekindle it. The rule he's alluding to here is hadlaka osa mitzvah. The mitzvah is fulfilled by the act of kindling, so that once you've kindled the lamp, you're yotze, you're done. No need to keep that light burning for a specified length of time. And since he also holds that you're permitted to use the Hanukkah lamp for illumination, then on Shabbat, the same concern and the same rules apply as to the Shabbat lights. And finally, there's the opinion of Rav. We may use the cheaper materials for all nights of Hanukkah, because first, we're not required to kindle the flame should it go out on weeknights, and we are forbidden to use the Ner Shel Hanukkah for illumination. The idea is that we display the light outside our door or in our window for Pirsume Nisa, to publicize or proclaim the miracle of Hanukkah. And if we do that, we're not supposed to be sitting around the Hanukkiah on Shabbat, let alone on weeknights, to use its light. And consequently, there's no concern that someone will accidentally tilt it to fix the flame. Okay, so it turns out that Rav's opinion is accepted as the codified halakha. We can see that in the Shulchan Aruch, beginning in line 68. Any sort of fuel is permitted for the Ner Shel Hanukkah. Now, true, as Rabbi Moshe Isserles tells us in his gloss, the mitzvah min hamuvchar, the best way to perform the mitzvah, is with shemen zayit, olive oil, because, as the Mishnah Brura tells us in lines 81 through 84, that's the oil that was used in the temple, that's the oil on which the miracle was performed. At the same time, Isserles tells us that the minhag in Ashkenazic lands is to use wax candles, since they make a bright, clear light. So, since it does not matter which fuels we use, you'd think that electric lights would also be acceptable for the Ner Shel Hanukkah, because, well, they make a bright, clear light, but no. As we've seen, most poskim reject the use of the electric Hanukkiah. They do so for a number of different reasons. Our source sheet provides a sampling of their opinions, and given our 12-minute format, we can't go through their arguments in detail. What we can do is note that each one of them comes up with a very different reason for prohibiting the electric light. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, the Beit Yitzchak, says that since we use electric lights every day, an electric light is not recognizable as the Shabbat lamp, there's no heker to it, and therefore it does not meet the requirement of Pirsume Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Rabbi Mordechai Winkler, the Levushei Mordechai, concedes that the Talmud permits all oils, but that's just it, he says, oils. That which fuels the Ner Shel Hanukkah must be shamnunit. It's got to have an oily or greasy substance to it. This allows for wax candles, he says, but even if wax is not oil, but electricity obviously does not meet that definition. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach cites the principle we mentioned earlier, hadlaka osa mitzvah. The mitzvah is fulfilled through the act of kindling, which can mean a lot of things, but he understands this as a requirement that ba'inan dumya de menorah shebamigdash, the Hanukkah lamp we kindle today must resemble the menorah that the Maccabees kindled in the temple. And of course, that temple menorah was fueled by oil that made for a shalhevet, an actual flame, which an electric Hanukkiah does not provide. Now, all of these reasons for rejecting the electric Hanukkiah are interesting, and some of them are quite creative. But it's important to say none of them are mentioned in the Talmud. For example, while it might be a nice idea to use a Hanukkah lamp that resembles the menorah that stood in the temple, the Talmud and the codes never mention this as a requirement. By contrast, Rabbi Yosef Mesas, and we're on lines 133 through 156, he argues vigorously that an electric Hanukkiah meets all the Talmudic requirements for the Ner Shel Hanukkah. Like wax candles, it throws off a clear light, and when properly placed, it is recognizable as the Hanukkah light, so that it does serve the goal of Pirsumei Nisa. Now, many Orthodox rabbis will tell you that when the opinions are split over a question, when you have a machloket, as they are here, the safest thing to do is to follow the majority, which would mean, in this case, stay away from the electric Hanukkiah. We, on the other hand, think that you follow the best argument, the most persuasive understanding of what the sources are telling us. And we are not persuaded by the majority's creative arguments. It's clear to us that Rabbi Mesas is right, that his is the best, most persuasive reading of the sources, and that there is nothing wrong with the electric Hanukkiah. Now, this doesn't mean that we think you should use an electric Hanukkah lamp. There are a lot of good aesthetic, historical, and traditional reasons that argue in favor of wax candles or oil lights. The point is that there's no convincing Talmudic or halachic prohibition against using the electric Hanukkiah. So, if you find yourself in a place where you're not allowed to kindle a flame, like a hospital or on an airplane, it's perfectly acceptable to use an electric Hanukkiah for the mitzvah, and that means you should recite the brachot over it. For a more extensive discussion of this topic, there's an essay at our website, and you'll find a link at the top of the source sheet. This has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 47 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.